405-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Good morning. Welcome to it. 8 minutes after 8 on this, the Thursday version of your favorite program, 715-845-2155. Let's jump into the Ukrainian situation and get us an update on what's happening. As we talked about in our newscast, Crimea area of the Ukraine has voted unanimously. Wonder how that happened. Anyway, the parliament says that, yes, they would now like to go back under Russian rule. The announcement came just very recently. Crimea's parliament voted to join Russia. In 10 days, they're going to offer a referendum on the decision, which draws the question here, is this the will of the people, or is this the will of Vladimir Putin? I'm leaning toward the will of Vladimir. This is a very interesting and economically hot place.
Well, it certainly is. And then one of the things I was reading about is one of the factions of the dissidents or the protesters that forced Yanukovych out in Kiev is a ultra-nationalist group that doesn't like anything to do with Russia.
Right.
And these Russian citizens in the eastern and southern part of the Ukraine are worried that if that bunch does come to power at some point,
then will there be ethnic cleansing against them?
And, right. Things like that. And that's why they'd like Russia to be there to, you know, back them up a little
bit. Here's where it gets complicated. First of all, let's address the fact that the Ukraine is the bottleneck by which a lot of oil pipelines flow. Oil is where Vladimir Putin gets his money. He skims from the oil. He sells weapons around the world. He cashes in. Vladimir Putin is one of the world's richest men. And the way he has attained his wealth is by stealing from Russia. He skims off the top. He uses that. He uses oil money to buy weapons. And he sells those weapons on the world market and makes a fortune.
It's an old and traditional way of getting wealthy in Russia.
Yeah.
Been done for generations.
Yeah.
They make money the old-fashioned way. They steal it.
So Vladimir Putin has a personal vested interest in that particular bit of geography being under Russian rule. It means his ability to skim from oil pipelines and the money that comes through and continue his illegal gun-running operations, that means it gets to continue, and he gets to make all the money he wants. So, which leads me to the next question. If the people of this particular area are afraid of the, quote, ultra-nationalists of Ukraine that want to have nothing to do with Russia, are they afraid because they are legitimately worried, or have they been influenced and told, well, you know, if this group over here comes to power, they're going to kill you.
Well, I'm sure that there has been fanning of the flames. Sure.
You need to come over here and let Father Russia hold you close and strangle you. I mean, keep you warm. So this is going to be a very interesting circumstance. The issue is this. I believe people want to be free. They want a government that gives them the ability to be the best that they can be. And I got news for you. Russia ain't it. The temptation to return to the old Soviet bloc way is huge with the Soviet or with the Russian government right now. Vladimir Putin would love it if the hammer and sickle could come back hard. You got to remember, he big time KGB back in the day, as they say.
Did you see the picture that's making the rounds this
morning? I haven't looked at that up yet. You say there's a picture of Ronald Reagan shaking hands with a kid, and behind him is Putin?
Yeah, I didn't realize this picture was taken in Russia, and right behind Reagan is Mikhail Gorbachev. It must have been one of the times they were negotiating. Mm-hmm. It's Reagan from 1988. Reagan shaking hands with a little Russian child. Standing behind the Russian child is a guy with a camera, and he looks like a tourist.
Mm-hmm.
Got a, you know, casual clothes on.
Sure, classic KGB agent style right there.
And it appears to be Vladimir Putin.
Interesting.
5 feet away from President Ronald Reagan in 1988.
Is he shirtless, wrestling a tiger?
No, he looks like a tourist. He's got hair. That's what makes it hard to figure out. He's got hair back in 88.
So did you.
I know.
All right, let's go to the phones. Thanks for calling. Jeremy, are you up?
Yes, I am.
All right, sir, what can we do for you?
Well, I was just wondering what your opinion was about us thinking about giving $1 billion over there.
Oh, that's another thing that I wanted to get to is, like, of course we're going to solve this problem by flooding money into the area that we don't have to give. The question is exactly who's going to get it and what are they going to do with it? I don't think, listen, I have no problem with us taking food and clothing and other aid to areas that are torn by strife. I think that's one of the great things that this country does. But funding an unseated government, I'm very questionable about it.
I think a lot of the money that we're giving them is guaranteed so that they can go to the International Monetary Fund and get loans because the Ukrainian economy is in the dumper.
Right, and the Russian ruble, the Russian stocks have taken a tumble since they've decided to vote that Crimea become part of Russia. This is another issue where the geopolitical and economics of world strife makes it very, very complicated. I do not like the idea of us pledging billions of dollars to an unknown, unseated government. Did we not learn anything with Egypt?
At least they're making it clear that it's not new money,
right,
that they're taking the money from Tunisia and Jordan. I'm sure those countries are real happy that their checks are being cut by the money that will now go to the Ukraine.
Thanks for calling in. Also, there's $200 million that Obama skimmed off the Israeli Defense Fund. He said, you know, we're helping with this whole missile defense shield that Israel has. They seem to be doing fine. Oh, wait a minute. They just intercepted a whole bunch of weapons going into the Palestinian area from Iran. So now really isn't the time to stop or even reduce our support to Israel. But that's what he's doing. Oh, this guy's brilliant in his foreign policy, isn't he? WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We'll be right back. We'll take your phone calls on this and other subjects. 715-845-2155. Back before you can say Ukraine. Welcome back. Feedback, 715-845-2155, 715-845-2155, if you'd like to be a part of the show. All right, in continuing developments with the world stage, recently the Israel Defense Forces, IDF, intercepted a Gaza-bound shipment of Syrian missiles that were coming from Iran. I know, it's like, good grief, get me a map to figure out where all this is happening. Okay, Syrian missiles attained by Iranian government and now being shipped to the Gaza area, which will be used against Israel. Now, this is how it works. Vladimir Putin provides the weaponry, okay? He uses Russian oil money, he buys various weapons, and then he sells these weapons and pockets the cash. So Syrian weapons, more than likely being provided either directly or indirectly, sold by Vladimir Putin to Iran. Iran then sends these weapons to Gaza in order for the Palestinians and Hamas to use against Israel. This happens constantly. As a matter of fact, earlier in the week, a rocket was fired from the Gaza area, fell into the Ashkelon region of Israel. This happens almost all the time. And yet, okay, listen, and yet, there are some on the left that are saying it's Israel that is the aggressor. It's Israel's land. Israel, if you don't want to go back any further than the Six-Day War, that's fine. You don't want to go into biblical history. You don't think that That should be taken into consideration when you're talking about borders of nations. Fine. Just go back as far as the Six-Day War. Israel is a legitimate nation. The land belongs to them. End of discussion. And yet, they are making concessions to have the Palestinians have areas to live. They have given up tremendous amount of land and of all of these concessions. If you remember, Yasser Arafat, former leader of the Palestine Liberation Organization, the PLO, a terrorist group, and winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, I may add, he came to Israel and said, "This is everything we want." Israel gave them 97% of everything they offered, and Yasser Arafat told him to go pound sand. You know why? Because the Palestinians don't care about living with the Israelis. They care about wiping them out. They care about driving them from the face of the earth. The Iranians don't want to have anything to do with the Israelis. The Iraqis don't want to have any. I mean, listen, everybody in the Arab world basically hates Israel. We are one of Israel's most important allies. We must stand with Israel. And those that are saying that Israel is the aggressor and Palestinians are the innocents, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You are not aware of the reality of what's happening in that part of the world. You are a victim of propaganda. And if you're not smart enough to understand that, then get out of the game. Just sit back, sit on the couch, smoke your weed, eat your Doritos, whatever. Let those of us who know what's going on be involved. And it is at this time that President Obama has said, you know, Congress, let's reduce the U.S. funding for Israel's missile defense programs by $200 million. Everything is fine. Remember the war on terrorism? We got that taken care of. Al-Qaeda's on the run. Oh, wait, no, they're not. Israel is okay. You know, they're kind of, let's reduce it. And by the way, there's no problem with the Cold War anymore. Russia, they're not a threat. This guy is just knocking home run after home run out of the park, isn't he? All of this is intertwined. All of it. So what we do on the stage, what we do with Syria, or what we didn't do more than to be accurate, what we did not do with Syria, what are we doing with the Ukrainian issue? What are we doing with Israel? What are we doing with Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, all of the Egypt? It's all intertwined. And the actions that we take either say we will not be messed with and we will be strong, or it simply says, yeah, we don't have the guts anymore to stand up for what's right. Our enemies are emboldened by our weakness, and this is not going to end well. I think it would be remiss if I did not say my recommendations or what I think is a good idea in this Ukrainian effort. I think the very first thing that we need to do with the Ukrainian issue is put extreme financial pressure on Russia. Vladimir Putin cares about his bank account. I believe he cares more about his bank account than he does almost anything else. So let's freeze his assets. Let's freeze his assets in every country that we can get to cooperate. Here in the United States, in the world that are our allies, let's freeze his assets and say, listen, you need to back up. We may not have what it takes to go after him militarily, which I believe we could, but as far as the stomach for war, we're done as a nation. We don't want any more war, certainly not with Russia. But can we go at him economically and diplomatically? You bet. And I believe that is the first line that we need to take. Freeze his personal assets and begin freezing the assets of Russia. All right, let's go to the phones. John, I believe you're up. Thanks for calling, my friend.
I'm just calling because Tom was making such a big deal, and everybody is, about how corrupt Putin is. But where is our President Obama come from? Chicago, the most corrupt city in the United States. And his right-hand man, Rob Emanuel, now runs the most corrupt city in the United States.
Yeah, that was very convenient one. And
You are really going to equate the corruption of Vladimir Putin with Barack Obama? Really?
I wouldn't be at all surprised that when Obama was over there and they caught him off camera with the sound still on, making a deal that when he was reelected, he could do more for them, I wouldn't doubt they're corrupt together.
Well, I haven't seen any indication or proof whatsoever that Obama is corrupt. Now, morally bankrupt, yeah, I'll go along with that. But corrupt, as far as criminally corrupt and accepting bribes and that kind of thing, I haven't seen any proof of that, so I can't. I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm not
going to say that it's not happening. But that's not the right wing way of doing things.
No, listen, shut up. Shut up. I'm not going to let you get under my skin. That's not going to happen.
It happens, and no one can account for the $833 billion stimulus and where all the money went.
Well,
why would we want to take over health care and 1/6 of the economy because there's more skim to be pulled off of there?
Well, and thank you very much, John, for calling in. I appreciate it. I have not heard, let me clarify what I said, because you go off on your tangent and you get all upset, which is fun to listen to sometimes.
Uh-huh.
I have not heard, I have not read, I have not seen any indication that Obama is corrupt. I haven't seen any indication of political kickbacks. I haven't heard of anything regarding trading power for favors, well, other than what's the normal political thing. You know what I'm saying? Honest to God, corruption. I haven't seen that. Would I be surprised if I saw it and it came up? No. But let me qualify that. Would I be surprised if any politician on either side got his hand caught in the cookie jar of corruption? No. So you getting all bent out of shape just because I say I wouldn't be surprised, take it down a notch.
Well, that's very big of you, Warren.
Well, if you would listen to me half the time, you know that when I am critical, I'm critical of both sides. I'm not just critical of Obama. I am critical of both sides. His foreign policy, I'm very specific about my critique of this administration. His foreign policy is amateur and childish and arrogant and is dangerous.
Well, nobody's shooting at us right now. We're not bringing home kids in body bags. And
you're crazy.
If the negotiations work,
you think nobody's taking shots at us?
If the negotiations work this out without shooting, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Is that not a good thing? You honestly say that America is not in danger. Nobody's shooting at us. Nobody's trying to kill us.
I am just saying we're not in open conflict now like we were a number of years ago. That we are not.
And that's Obama's credit?
Well, he's been president for the last what?
Oh, good.
7 years? 6 years?
Wow. Hey, Tom. What color is the sky in your world? Can I visit sometime? It's got to be a happy place. WSAU. We'll be right back.
Wisconsin Morning News now. The Jerry Bader Show at 9 on AM 550, FM 99.9 WSAU.